I'm thankful that the Lord has done something for us in the Spotswood Chapel. That's where I'm from. I'm pastor of the Spotswood Chapel. But God has done a work to where God can trust us with quietness. And he needs to do that in a body of Christ. But particularly, we love to worship and praise the Lord, and we do. The person who leads us in the singing. I'm not the greatest singer, so I have people who help me. And the people who do say, you know, they're thankful for certain folks in the congregation that are worshipers. They have no, you know, they just worship the Lord. At least I know some of the Krangas. You start praising the Lord, and they're right there with you. They love to exalt God, and it's wonderful. But there came a time when the Lord wanted to do something for us to just enjoy His presence, to acknowledge that Jesus is in our midst, and to focus on Him. And I wondered why God was doing this, particularly in our evening services. But I realized why. Because our young people needed to recognize and acknowledge Jesus' presence, because we're bombarded with so much, you know, stimulation. Whether it's iPod, computer, TV, you know, we're constantly, you know, it's a wonder our eyes just don't go like this all the time, right? We're always being bombarded with different ways of getting our mind going, and we need to just, God wants to bring us into recognizing Him. That's our strength, our peace. A few months back, something happened in my life that just stole my peace. I got my eyes off the Lord, and a situation that just, have you ever had that happen, that just hits you right here, rocks you? You know, you have, I think all of us have one steady nerve that's solid, and you thank God for it. Well, that one steady nerve was starting to go like this. And I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, I need your peace, and I've heard about it, and I've heard preaching, and I've been in meetings, and I said, I need the real thing right now. Have you ever said that to God? I think God likes us to challenge Him that way. I said, God, I need this thing right now. And, you know, I said, I need to know that this thing is real right now. And, you know, God brought me into that peace. It didn't change the situation. Still had to fight it out, tough it out. But, you know, the Lord brought that inward peace. And I'm thankful that He did that. You know, because then wisdom came. If you'll turn with me to Philippians, the Apostle Paul gives, I like to call it a formula. Now, you may not think that. I like to call it a formula because when you, or even a recipe for peace. We're going to look at this, Philippians chapter 4. The great thing with a recipe is if you put all the ingredients in, right, and you follow the instructions, what should happen? You should get something delicious, right? It should work. And if in chemistry, if you get the measurements precise and everything, and it should work. And I've been always taught that, haven't always experienced it. Remember when I had chemistry, in college, after a while, it began to assign seniors to help me for my own safety. Because it wasn't going well, you know. A little here, a little there. But for the most part, if you follow instructions, you should get an end result. And I like this because when it comes to losing, when you're out of peace, when you're in unrest, you know, when your hands are shaking, it's not so easy to put things together. But God gives us step by step what to do here. Because the enemy likes to get us into unrest. It's a good tool of his. You know what happens. I wrote down a few things. When you are in unrest, the enemy knows three things particularly I found in my life. He knows that when you're in unrest, you're going to start making poor decisions. You're going to start saying, I've got to do something. And you know, that's dangerous. Right? This situation's out of control. I've got to do something now. I mean, you see that throughout the Old Testament. The Israelites were always jumping up and down, trying to, you know, solve their situation, and it never came, never got a resolve. And so the enemy loves to get you in unrest. And he can use whatever vehicle that pushes your button to get you there, so you'll start making poor decisions. Whether it's on the job, in the home, whether it's in school, wherever you are, you'll just start saying, you know what, I've got to make a decision, I've got to make it now. And talk about being quiet, that's the last thing you want to do. You know? And you can hear all the teaching and just, you know, just get to your room, just be still. Sometimes I felt like screaming at the pastor, you try it! Right? I'm not saying that's not good instruction, it is. But I know when I'm in unrest, the last thing I want to do is to be still. It's hard. Well, the enemy wants to get you to start making some really poor decisions. The second thing is this: he wants to get you into poor relationships. Hey, let me ask you, you who are in peace today, did you ever try to just keep a good relationship with someone who's in unrest? You know, the best relationship is distance! Right? Okay, wear yourself out. I'll see you in a while. You know what I mean? Do what you gotta do. Where's that brother? He's in the other room breaking things. Listen, the enemy wants to get you into poor relationships. No, we who are married, you know that. If you can stir the pot a little bit, bring something. Again, maybe it's on the job or something somebody said, get you in unrest. Well, what do you do? What? You know, the best thing that the enemy loves is for to get you in unrest, so you come home and just have a good fight with the wife, right? Or with the children, or upset the whole apple cart. And you know, if you let the enemy continue that line, he's going to start breaking down relationships. Things on the job break down. Even in a church, it can happen that way. And discord comes. The third thing is this. If the enemy can get you into unrest, I have found at least that you have a poor ability to fight the good fight of faith. You don't become a good fighter. You know, I thank God for the Holy Ghost meetings where you feel the Lord and you know you're ready, right? But you know His presence is there and you've been blessed and you're just ready to go to work and just start. You know, give me the first guy to grab and I'll witness to him. You're ready. But when you're in unrest, it's like, I don't know what to do. People, you know, you go to different folks, you get on the phone, maybe you call the pastor, which you should do, or you call a prayer partner, you call and talk to somebody, say, I don't know what to do. And they start trying to give you some advice, but do you take it? A lot of times when you're in unrest, you know, now you're too busy pouring out, and the help isn't getting in. So those three things, poor decisions, poor relationships, and a poor ability to fight the good fight of faith. I found that the Apostle Paul gives us some good instructions here. And what are they? Well, the first thing was very hard for me at first to take. And what is that? Be anxious for nothing. Have you ever had somebody come up to you in a trying time and go, don't worry about it? Have you? Have you been grateful for that? Huh? Have you? I mean, does, you know, they come up, you're going through something, and they just go, don't worry about it. And what do? Okay. Thank you. I feel so much better. You know, thank you. Wow, here I was worrying, and you just told me not to worry. And that never crossed my mind. Well, don't worry. Maybe I'm alone here today. You know? Because the first thing in my mind when a good saint would come up to me and say, don't worry, I'd be like, huh? What? I worry. And I said, boy, if I could stop, I would. But the Word of God says, don't be anxious about that thing. So we have to start there. All right, then what do I do? And this is what's so good with the Word of God. He moves us from, he doesn't just say you don't worry, he says, here, let's have a trade-off. Let's trade your what's bringing you in unrest and troubling your mind. Let's make a trade-off. Give that stuff to the Lord, and then here's something you can do instead of worrying. Now that's helpful. You know, if you say to me, instead of worrying, here's something you can do. Okay, what can I do? Well, number one, he says, but in everything by prayer and supplication. That's number one. That's the first ingredient that we need to realize, that the Holy Spirit has given us as a recipe towards peace. To give, bring it to prayer. Bring it, you can always, when you read the Psalms, you realize you can always come with an anxious mind. Amen? Aren't there Psalms like that? You can bring your anxious mind to the Lord. And you can tell Him how you feel and what you think's going to happen. And you can pour out about how this one said this and this and this and that and this and that. It's okay. You can bring it. As long as that cry, that crying to the Lord turns into a cry. As many of the Psalms do. And there's a difference between crying and a cry. Right? Crying is like I say a lot of times, it's like if you fell into a pit, you fell into a muddy, dirty hole, and you begin crying, saying, this is a muddy, dirty, filthy pit. That's crying. Does that get you out of the pit? No, it doesn't help to describe the hole you're in. But we got to do that, and God lets us do it. For according to what I see in the Psalms, He lets you do it. But then, after a while, you get smart. And your crying turns to a cry. And what is that cry? Help! Get me out of here, right? Now, doesn't that make more sense? Now, everybody passing by, if you're just crying and saying, it's muddy, it's dirty down here. It's no good. It stinks. It's rotten down here. Oh, poor fella. Poor guy. They might even look down the hole and go, you're right. It is. God wants to get our crying to a cry. Do we learn like the psalmist to say, Lord, you're able to pull me out. And then you're saying to that person, hey, get me out of this. That's a cry. And we need that. And so that's what we're instructed here by the Apostle Paul, to have a cry. Prayer and supplication to pray. What's the next thing? Well, here we go. Because this is going to move us away from the natural, inevitable results of being in unrest to letting God, opening the door for the supernatural, which we all believe and want. That God can do something beyond my situation, my circumstance. What is that? He says, give thanks, thanksgiving. See, that's where the faith comes in. Now, I don't know about you, but that works easier for me. Instead of just saying, I need to have more faith, I'll tell you, when you're in unrest, when your soul doesn't have peace, sometimes I find that, say, you need to have faith, can get kind of disturbing, but here's something you can do. Realize that you need to give thanks. Just start thanking the Lord. God, I thank you. I thank you because you know the end of this thing. And you're going to glorify your name. You're going to work this thing out. Don't understand it all now, but I give you thanks. And so he tells them, have a cry, prayer and supplication. And secondly, show your faith. Don't try to explain your faith. Don't try to, measure your faith. But show your faith, experience your faith by giving thanks. You may not feel thankful. You may not see what there's to be thankful for. But you can give thanks. But what's the next thing he says? He says, well, of course, let your requests be made known to God. And here's the great promise that God has given. And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I like that because now I don't have to try to get peace. It takes the burden off of me of saying, well, I should be in peace. I got to come into peace. I got to get into peace. And I know one good saint of the Lord, I could tell when they were trying to get peace. You know what they would do? And whenever there was a trial, they would do this. Jesus, 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 Jesus. You know, I fell into armrest next to them. You know? I got uncomfortable. I like the idea here that the Apostle Paul says that, look, if you do a few things here, if you'll trade off your worry for a couple of things. Have a cry. Cry it out, yeah? But then cry to God. Give it to Him. And then express your faith by giving thanks, acknowledging that He's able. Lay your request before Him. And then God, this is what God's going to do. And it's the peace of God. And you, look at this special thing here. It surpasses all understanding. What will it do? It's going to guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And that's what I experienced a few months ago. That exact thing. God is going to begin to... by the Holy Spirit, is going to do the work of guarding your heart and mind. That's what He'll do for us. So there's a good recipe for us today. And we need this in this age. We need this individually, but we need it as a church. To say, Lord, You're able. You are able to guard our hearts and minds. To bring every thought into captivity and to give us peace. I don't know every situation here today. I don't hear anybody going, Jesus, 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 Jesus. But maybe there is something in your heart. There's a... Now maybe it hasn't conquered every nerve in you, but maybe it's gotten a few. Well, before we are dismissed this morning, why don't we take the Lord up on His word? And like a good recipe, like a good formula that works, this is two things we need to do here this morning before we walk out. We need to, number one, just say, well, actually three things. We need to say, Lord, okay, I got all these worried thoughts about that situation here. Now, it takes something to give it to God, but you have to start there, don't you? You know? You have to start by saying, here, I'm willing for the trade-off. And the second thing you need to say, Lord, I've cried enough about this. Now I'm going to have a cry in my heart. And my cry is to You, the Almighty One, Jesus, my King, our great Savior, as we sang. My cry is to You, Lord. You've been faithful and true. And the second thing is, God, I'm going to start thanking You right this morning. And every wave of unrest is going to bring praise to You. I thank You. Not a nervous calling of Your name now, but a gratefulness that I know the power of that name, Jesus. And I give that to You. And then expect God to do what He's promised in His Word, and that is to begin to give you a peace that doesn't make sense. Every one of us ought to experience that at one or more times in our walk in this Christian walk. A peace that just doesn't make sense. You know? Where people should come up to you and say, instead of saying, don't worry, they should come up to you and say, shouldn't you be worried about that? Right? I want to experience that. I have experienced that, and you should too. So let's let the Lord do that. And He'll guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. I like that. He'll guard your heart and mind. Oh, Jesus. Let's just let the Lord do that. Why don't you do that right now, in fact? Why don't you say, Lord, here, maybe... I've been worried about this. I'm going to give it to You right now. I just give it to You, Lord. And Lord, I'm going to cry to You, to the One who can lead me to the rock that is higher than me. Oh, Jesus. We do that, Lord God. Father, is anyone here who perhaps the enemy has or is trying to get into unrest, wanting them to make poor decisions, working on their relationships, Lord, or just causing them to lose their ability to fight the good fight of faith. We pray right now, Lord, that they will make the great, awesome trade-off of giving you all of that on rest. Oh, God, we pray for your help right now, that they'll know that you'll keep your word, you'll guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, dear Lord. Yes, dear Jesus. Yes, dear God. Wonderful Lord. Oh, God. All my anxieties, all my cares, bring to the mercy seat. Leave them there. Never a burden he doth not share. Never a friend like Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Shall we stand? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your rest, O God. We thank you for the peace that passeth all understanding, O God. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, O God. We worship you. We worship you, Lamb. We thank you, O God, that you care for us, O God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we thank thee, Lord. You're able, O God. You're more than able, Lord, to bring us into our rest. We thank thee, Father God. We thank thee, Lord. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, we thank you, Lord God. So, Father, we go out today in your peace. And thank you that it's a peace that passeth all understanding. We thank you, Lord God, that we can labor to enter into that rest. And know that you abide, that you're with us, oh God, that our Heavenly Father is mindful of us, that we don't go through anything alone. And Lord, that every situation, every circumstance that pops up, that arises, Lord, that troubles, that becomes a tempest to us, is going to glorify your name. Lord, you are going to be praised and honored. And although we might have to at times ride it out, you're with us, and you keep us, and you guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Because we need to, Lord, to always hear from you, to see you. So we go in your rest and your peace this day. We ask, Lord, your blessing upon this whole camp, upon every guest, upon, Lord, all of the young people, the staff. We ask, Lord, for your gracious peace to abide. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.